This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. And you know what we're doing?
800.
First hour. No.
I was anxious.
I know you are. You're jumping the gun. That's all right. I like you like that because you're aggressive. All right. All I did was
phrasing.
I put a little extra into the count to see if I get you off sides. You know what I mean?
Damn it,
Aaron Rodgers.
Blue 32.
Dang. Again? Yeah, me again.
So we have the first hour, and you know what we're doing? The buffet. Ooh. Open.
Ooh. Come and get it. Come
Jay
and get
Will
it. Come
at
get
noon.
It.
We've got a Jets guest at 12:30. So what we're doing here is clearing the decks, clearing the calling lines. If anybody was on hold for DiPietro, Kenny Rothenberg, you're off. You hung up on them. Only our callers right now. And so, Bart, if they want to call right now, what do they call?
1-800-919-3776.
Okay, goodbye.
But you guys that are slow, 1-800. And for people that don't have the Urban Dictionary, that's 800. 1-800-919-3776.
Say it in your white voice. Say it in your white voice.
1-800-919-3776. Good day, sir.
That's really good, actually.
And if they can't get us there, oh, they can't get us there.
Come on.
And they shouldn't, because the line should be jam-packed. We're going to try and get to everybody before I become a habitual line stepper with Jason Williams, because I got a lot to ask him about Kyrie, KD, AD, BD, ABCDEF, and G. You can't get us there. You go ahead and get us on the tweet at Barton High.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get us at the Barton High, then you DM Allen exclusively with low back picks and navel picks.
Dimples.
As your screen, Jay. And you get us at Barton High on the gram, too. And listen, Bill, I know you upset right now, Bill, but
bad.
Tell
it's
him thank you. Thank you, Bill,
miserable.
For still being a contributor to our show, Bill. We appreciate you. We know you got a lot of work to do because you are gassing up the pacer, because you may be out in Martha's Vineyard earlier than later this year, Bill.
That's a shame. Shame that his quarterback came into Foxborough and just beat the crap out of his team and the quarterback that he never thought he'd have. That's an amazing story going on there. But you know what, though?
Ain't been the same since the COVID.
There's a couple of great stories going on right now that we're going to get to. And like I said, we'll go buffet, so whatever you want to talk about in the world of sports, we'll get to you as well. But we got stuff that we want to talk about, and there's two things. First, let's go with a little bit of breaking news that is now suddenly unbroken.
Can't wait.
So initially, because we got a lot of calls coming in, so Anthony's like, you know, going into octopus mode. Initially, there was a trade rumor that was put out there by an uncredentialed Jets beat or Jets reporter who said that the Jets are shopping Quinnen Williams, which, again, that's one of the names that we sort of started seeing out there. Would the Jets try to trade Quinnen Williams? And he's played really well this year.
Yeah, what did I say?
And so that had everybody freaking out. Like, everybody's flipping. What are the Jets doing? Oh, my God. Lou Riddick went onto Twitter, and he almost never tweets. And he's just like, what the hell are the Jets doing? And then every other beat writer... Samini, Costello, Anizone, all of them, one after another. According to a source, the Jets are not shopping Quinnen Williams.
Well, that person is not connected anymore. He doesn't have his moles set up in there. He doesn't have access, so he can just spitball and throw stuff against the wall.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I do think it's always about semantics. My experience on the beat for many years, there's always the one guy that will be the habitual line stepper just to get the clicks first. And if you're wrong, you just kind of shrug and go, oh, okay. You know, it's always the semantics. Are they shopping him? No. Have they listened to an offer or two, Bart?
Of course. You listen to everybody. You're always listening. That is negligence if you don't listen to somebody. You always got to listen to stupid. Somebody come with stupid and want to give you something crazy. Listen, you love everybody, but hey, everybody has a price like the $1 million man say, baby.
Except
Han.
And you didn't have a price either. That's why you stay with us. Appreciate you for that.
Oh, okay. I like that. Phrasing.
You know what I'm saying?
Phrasing.
Clearly, you stay with us.
No diggity.
So I like that. So we can't be bought. You can't take this apart. It's only just getting started. So anyways, so the Quinnen Williams stuff suddenly is no longer a story. Allegedly, right? It's no longer a story now because it did have a lot of people freaking out for a minute. You know, Joe Douglas is the one guy that I remain confident in. So something like this would make you say, like, whoa, not him. It's not like you have to pay him yet. You know, he's still young. He's still controllable.
Three more years. After this year, you got him for three more.
Right, exactly. So there wouldn't be a reason to move a player, especially the way he's playing, unless, like you said, if somebody called you about him and you're like, well, what would you do? That's all. You do that. But so any fan out there, any Jets fans that are freaking out about this, just understand it has already been refuted by pretty much everyone else on the beat.
I just got a ding by Bleacher Report. Conflicting reports. No, it's only one conflicting dummy.
There's no conflict. Yeah, there's four beat writers and one uncredentialed reporter. Which one are you going to go with? So anyways, so that's that story. But the other story that's developing right now in the world of sports is interesting. And that involves the NBA. Like we told you the other day, it was actually Friday when this started to become a story, is that the NBA has a meeting this week with their board of governors. And they also are meeting with the players' union. And they really have been talking, just so you know. They have been talking. And the plan right now, whereas first Adam Silver was concerned, he wanted to start some point in January, then said they might not be able to do it until March. They wanted fans in the building. But as they looked at the numbers and what it would cost, it's now become abundantly clear that the league needs to be in action at some point this winter. And they probably have to do it without fans in the beginning.
Right.
So the report is that they were aiming for late December, potentially Christmas Day, and at worst, MLK Day, right, as far as the latest they'd go. And now a report from Mark Stein, who's been covering the NBA forever, he says December 1st is what he's hearing as the likely training camp opening day, if the plan for December 22nd as opening night is approved by the union. That is expected to be approved at some point. And I've heard this morning that as early as Thursday, we could have an announcement about the 2021 season. So, Bart, the only problem, of course, is that's a quick turnaround. The draft is in mid-November. It's basically less than a month away. It's a couple of weeks away, actually. And that would mean that you would have a very short offseason for trade. Like, and when I mean offseason, they're in offseason now. But right. You can't make any moves right now because there's no agreement yet between the league and the union. So you would have essentially 2 weeks, including Thanksgiving break, to make any free agency signings and trades before you open camp, which could be a little crazy, but this is what the league's trying to do so they can get on track and have as long of a season as they can, maybe 72 games, and not lose any more money. Because as we know, this past season with the bubble still cost this league about $1 billion.
Right. I mean, what they played because they had $900 million up for grabs, cost them $200 million right. to be able to do that. But you're not talking about all the revenue that would have been associated with the playoffs and hosting home games and local right. TV money, you know what I mean, for those playoff teams and all that stuff, you know, being able to have fans and concession and parking. But I tell you what, this is an opportunity too, right? Because you got to look at how important it is. You know, you don't want to be a team that's kind of starting after the NFL is over with. Like, you want to be able to consume and be that team that's getting those extra clicks for people, you know, who team may have fall out of it, people have become disinterested in football. You want to be that other sport. You don't want to go all. We don't want to go all the way to March before we have sports all over again outside of football. I mean, we kind of had this sports nirvana, but the byproduct is when you have all the sports at one time, you may not have no sports at a time as well, which is counterproductive. So this is an opportunity for the NBA if they get it right. And listen how unfair it is for people that weren't in the playoffs. I mean, at some point, they got to have an opportunity to earn money as well. We knew that last season was going to affect the following season. It's going to take two seasons to kind of get everything back on the schedule. And I think the NBA is hedging their bet that maybe we go with these non-bubble cities, but we've learned a lot from what the NFL has done, what the NBA has done with these, you know, rapid testing and being able to isolate guys, and maybe you let people have expanded rosters, have a couple more people maybe from their G League teams available on game day in case something happens. But, you know, we have to be able to play some basketball games, and then maybe, you know, it's a vaccine during the middle of the season. We have an opportunity, you know, to be able to have fans in the stands. Like we see in football, understanding that most basketball stadiums are indoors, so it's a totally different thing. But you can be able to start integrating that once there is a vaccine, hopefully, and people start taking it and we start seeing, you know, us come out the other side of right. this pandemic. It's an opportunity to make money if you're healthy and you're ready to take advantage of all those fans that are going to be going crazy for a in-game experience. When consumer confidence comes back, can you imagine how crazy people are going to be? Like, I'm going to be the most happiest person in the world when somebody smudged my Yeezys, my J's up, because you know what? That means that I trust them to be in that type of close
that
proximity.
Close.
That close. And all I mean, right. It's going to be like, you remember what I just saw in that Prince had? Party like it's 1999?
Mm-hmm.
When we're able to get sports back, and I think basketball can be the first one. They're the first one to come back and save us. They'll be the first one to really come back and really give us a true fan experience.
And that's obviously what they want. Now, you won't have that at the very beginning. You'll have to do it, but they won't do it in a bubble. Here's what I'm thinking. All right, again, 800-919-3776 is the number to get into the conversation. We'll go buffet, but on this, because I'm curious, because one of the things that we have to talk about is you won't have fans in the building at the beginning in most of the places, right? It'll be a lot like MLB. I imagine they'll consider more of a regional schedule to keep the travel down, which means yep. You won't see LeBron James at the Garden this year. You might not even see Kevin Durant at Golden State, which everybody's been waiting for. I don't know how often you're going to see Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the same lineup, if you think about it as well, if you're playing it this way. And here's why. Because while you have most teams have been sitting around a long time, even the ones that were in the bubble, there are four teams that had a very short offseason. That would be Boston and Denver, who also were in the Final Four, the conference finals. And then clearly Miami and the Lakers, who played in the NBA Finals, which feels like just like last week, right? It was very recent that they finished. So you would be telling them you don't have much of an off season. And Danny Green talked about this last night when he was discussing the return of the NBA and how short of an off season it's going to be. And listen to what Danny Green says. This is from The Ringer. What Danny Green says about his specific team with older players and a really short off season.
I think most guys, if they said we start in December, I think they're like, I'm not going to be there. If I had to guess, because we have a lot of vets on our team. It's not like we have a bunch of young guys and rookies. We probably have like three or four young guys or rookies. We're fortunate enough to bring the same team back. We have Doe, who's on year 15, Dwight's in year 16, Bron, year 18, you know, 17, DeVell. And these guys, we just played a whole season. Bron's been in the finals 10 years out of his 17 years, which is unbelievable mentally. You know, it's training to do that. And to have that quick of a restart, I wouldn't expect to see him there. I wouldn't expect to see him probably for the first month of the season. He'll probably be working out with us, probably do some playing. But I just don't expect guys to want to be there or show up willingly. I think at this moment, it might be different in about 2 weeks where guys are like, all right, let me get back in the gym, start working. When we get back in the gym, it's not right to basketball. It's like, all right, let me start getting in shape, lifting a little bit, start running a little bit.
Now, we love DJ. He's a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of those things he should have kept to himself, right? Because all he's really doing there is spitballing. He's not telling you something that they've talked about. He's just saying probably, and we'll see. But you know, the understanding how short the offseason feels for them,
but that
because
is
they literally just stopped celebrating a championship. But it is possible in a season like this that you will get more load management stories and, you know, in situations than in usual seasons. So the question I have is, people are already showing that they're kind of getting fatigued with the NBA and some of the, you know, like in that part of the NBA, it's top heavy with superstar teams and everybody else is sort of, you don't have a chance to win. And you also now have star players like Kawhi, who will play one night, not play the other. And they'll come up with reasons why he can't play. Like, you have that going on in this league. And if you're like, so would you be still be excited about an NBA season to start in December? and have games if you knew it also meant that, for the most part, a lot of the star players, LeBron might even be included, as Danny Green mentioned, would sit out more often than not than already, because they already sit out a lot. Now they would sit out more. Would you still be excited?
Yes. You want to know why I'm excited? Because there's no way that you can go into this next NBA season and say that it's a lock that the Lakers are going to make it back. We know that that was the one they had to get. Because I am so ready for the redemption story. Listen, I can't wait to see Draymond Green become a habitual line stepper. When he, I'm sure he had
The Warriors kept receipts, didn't they?
Yeah, they got receipts for days. Everybody that had all that smoke. The Patrick Beverleys of the world, who probably ain't going to be there with the Clippers because Chris Paul's going to be back. So now it's going to be a legitimate threat. Is it Chris Paul and the Clippers? Is it LeBron James and whoever they decide to kind of bring in? Bringing in Derrick Rose. Okay, all they can pretty much add with their salary cap is maybe Derrick Rose. Okay, would that mean something? And is that the legitimate threat? Because to me, the champs are the Golden State Warriors, and they are pissed off. And there's nothing like a pissed off champ who took receipts. And I can't wait to see what they do. And if they bring over Joel Embiid, you're going to have LeBron go to commissioner and say, "That ain't fair." He's going to say, "You know what, LeBron? Shut up, because it wasn't fair for you to get AD in a forced way out that way. So take it like a big man." But then on the East Coast, everybody thinks, "Oh, it's a foregone conclusion. The Miami Heat are the team of the future. Will they get Giannis? Or will Giannis be able to gear up? Okay, well, will he be able to get up? And will he be able to lower Chris Paul there? Would that be something, right?" But
Not a lot of time to make that happen. Like I said, the offseason is going to be really quick. It's going to be a sprint.
But listen, this is the opportunity. If they make this work and they have this kind of chaotic offseason, what does that do? It draws up interest in December and November for a sport that's usually dormant during that time. So it's still an opportunity to create excitement and buzz, and then that media train that is the NBA can really take advantage of it. You know, in the offseason, the most dullest sport to me is the NBA because it's really slow. Nobody cares about
July's
combine.
Fun because you get a lot of the movement and the free agency, but then it gets quiet real fast.
Right, then nobody cares about the combine. So you're going to have the combine offseason right here. You're going to have all these moves coming. Then before you know it, bam, it's right back in your face. See, usually what happens is NFL is in your face so much that you forget when November starts that basketball is even going. You're like, I'll pay attention in Christmas. So basically, that's a month and a half where your sport's out there where nobody really cares.
And
this is an opportunity
for
people to care about your sport right now.
Think about this, Bart. So tonight we have Game 6 of the World Series, 8 o'clock, right? The Dodgers lead 3-2. If they win tonight, baseball's done. And you know what's left? Football. And football plays Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. And that's it. So you got a lot of broadcast real estate now just sitting there, which normally is consumed by, at this time, the NBA and the NHL. You don't have any of that now. You'll have some college basketball, I guess, here and there.
Yeah,
but you're not having what you used to have, which was every night you had an NBA game or an NHL game. You had something. Now you got nothing, only football. So if I'm Turner and if I'm ESPN, I'm looking at the NBA like, we got to fill these nights. So let's get cracking. Let's get going here. And even the regional, like us, MSG. I'm proud to, by the way, announce I have re-signed. I'm back with the MSG for another season. And
They would have been crazy not to.
I love it. It's one of my favorite places to work. I love it there. They're great. They've been good to me, and I'm happy to say I'll be back. But
if they didn't, I would have went to Dolan. I said, "Hey, Dolan, let me ask you something." He would say, "Yes, Bart. I know you very well. I listen to the show. I'm a fan." I would say, "Heard you guys didn't re-sign Allen. They can put cheese on his taco." I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What did the five fingers say to the face?
No, don't say you're going to assault the guy that signs my
face. No, he gave you your money. He gave
you
your money.
You were going to go to SNY, and you were going to say, "All right, he's a free agent now. Why don't we get him on the Jets postgame show? He'll bring a little action.
He'll bring
a little energy.
Just wait.
He'll bring some nerd to the show.
Come on, man. Listen, it's all about the procedure. Don't worry, man. I'm just waiting for Cohen to come get it. Because then, if Cohen does it, it's going to be a bigger check for both of us. That's what I'm waiting for. It's coming.
I could do that.
But I don't have to say that to Dolan. Thank you, Dolan, because I didn't want to go to jail.
They took care of me. But now he took care of you. We good.
Thank you, Mr. Dolan.
Like I said,
so now I'm asking what the five fingers say to the face. I'm saying, shake your hand. Thank you, Mr. Dolan. Take care of my guy.
Okay. 800-919-3776. The point is, though, is that we'll see how it works. Look, they've got to have testing. They've got to have treatment. They've got to have tracing. All that's got to be in place. The NFL is not traveling nearly as much as the NBA would, but the NFL is enduring while playing outside a bubble. Major League Baseball did it for the most part. A couple of issues, they were able to deal with it. Without any arena scheduling problems, when you consider there's no concerts right now and there's no NHL yet, I think you can, as the NBA, have that ability to flex a game or two, move a game or two if you had to, there were a positive or not. So that all remains to be seen. But my question is a simple one. Is you're basically already, like what Danny Green said there, maybe speaking out of pocket, but he's sort of just telling you the consciousness, at least, of some of the teams. Like Jimmy Butler's in the gym right now already. Like he was in the gym the day after they lost. Like he's a maniac. And the Heat are pretty much all wired that way. But the Lakers feel a different way, according to Danny Green. And so with that in mind, if you have a season that starts in December, but you're going to have like the Nets.
What about the majority?
KD's not going to play every game. Kyrie's not going to play every game. They might play 40 out of 72 games on the court together. That could happen.
What about the majority of the league?
So would you still want to watch? That's what I want to know. And you said you would. So we put it out on the Barton Hunt Twitter. Would you be happy with the NBA returning in December, even if stars aren't playing every night? Bart Scott says yes. What say you? We got some feedback. Mike says yes. I need my Knicks back ASAP. And this would help the Knicks against star-studded teams that play. It's kind of fair, kind of true. If everybody plays their JV on most nights. Sports Dude says yes. Plus, if they're told no play, no pay, they're going to play. Everyone has a price. Everyone can be bought. Well, you know this is all about money. There's no time. There's no doubt about that. And then we have SN Spacer said, no, I ain't wasting my time watching bums. Just saying. Okay. Watching
the
bums.
The thing is, the bums won't be like the Golden State Warriors because they're coming back. They're going to try and get some cohesion and get some, you know, some. It's important for like the Nets to play and it's important for Golden State to play.
Star League, stars.
Yeah, but I'm saying those are stars coming off an injury, so they're going to be getting work back in. So that's going to be the excitement. I mean, I want to see all the guys that got guys returning, and I want to see what the Warriors, who got one of the best management, you know, upper management, you know, in the league, and what they're able to do. And let's see what Jerry West is able to do, because I think if Paul George gets traded, I mean, I think that's going to be an indictment on him. The fact that they got him and they didn't really want him because he doesn't work well with.
I don't think they're going to. I think they got to bring in a leader. That's why I think the Chris Paul trade will be one to certainly keep an eye on.
Are they going
to
break it up in Houston though?
Make that happen. Then Houston? They say they're not in Houston. They say they're not going to do it, at least not for this year. I think a lot of things stay still, and that includes the Knicks. I would not expect a lot of fireworks out of the Knicks this offseason because it's too short. That doesn't mean they wouldn't do something at trade deadline. But I think right now I would not expect a lot of fireworks. 800-919-3776. Let's grab some calls. Let's go with Matt in Chicago to start us off. What up, Matty?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. So my hot take here is I want to watch the Knicks play against no stars. Because at the end of the day, guys, if they do that, they're going to get a win before the Jets.
Yikes.
So we're going to have the Knicks getting that first victory probably by the end of December before the Jets go 0-16.
Thanks, Matt.
Words hurt, Matt.
That, yeah.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
Did they just say, did he
you
really just say?
Major disappointment.
Like I said, though, I don't know how many people would be upset if at this point the Jets were 0-16. I think more people would just be like, all right, good.
I want them to have the options. Listen, what they showed last week showed that they can play a half. I'm happy with that. Who I'm disappointed in is the Giants, because the Giants played well and they won it. And they shouldn't have won it.
That's it. Just flip the lighter into the BMW and walk away.
With that being
just
said,
let it go. Boom.
The Giants are one game from being tied for first place.
Oh, my, stop it. The Giants, I know. And that whole story. Let's take Gary in New Jersey. Good, Gary.
Hey, what's up, guys? I love the show. Bart, you are missed in a Jets uniform because they need all the help they can get right now. And Alan, I'm glad they got you off third shift, my friend. Two quick questions that might come as a little bit of a hot take. Sure. First, what is the likelihood that Brooklyn makes a big power play? The Brooklyn Nets make a big power play for, say, like Giannis. Or maybe if the Clippers are thinking about getting rid of a PG-13 or George Paul, as they call it now.
I don't see those names. I could see a Bradley Beal effort. Yeah. I could definitely see something along those lines.
You know what I would like to see?
I would like to see them dump DeAndre Jordan. It's time to, for having your little video game partner for KD and go get Montez Harrell. Get Montez Harrell as that energy score guy. You know what I mean? Get him because he's out there.
Definitely.
He's available. Get Montez Harrell as that deep defensive guy that can hustle.
Don't know. I don't like
I like Jared Allen though.
I think he's undersold. I really do.
Well, he's going to stay. He's going to stay. I'm trying to get DeAndre Jordan his $10 million a year because he's KD friend.
But he's there. He's a caddy. He's there for that reason. And you have to understand that KD and Kyrie do not want strong personalities around that team. They don't want.
Correct. They want to dominate the team as much as they possibly can. And my last question for you guys.
Go ahead.
And I'll let you go. Is so I asked this to Larry Hardesty last night and also Chris Carlin, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it. If the Jets do go 0-16, Adam Gase is fired. Here's kind of another hot take question.
Go.
Outside of obviously Eric Bieniemy being a hot head coaching candidate right now,
mm-hmm.
Would you have a problem if your Jets ownership and taking a run at, say, like at an Urban Meyer?
See, I don't know about Urban Meyer because we've kind of seen how he's operated in the past with things. I don't know about that one, Bart. You might have a better answer than I do. Harbaugh from Michigan would be one that I could see if you wanted to be aggressive and to see if you can lure him out of there. But
mine is David Shaw. If I'm going college, I'd rather go David Shaw in Stanford. He's been in the NFL for a long time. He understands how the NFL operates. It's going to be hard to get him to move off of Stanford because he doesn't have to win much games. He doesn't have to win national titles.
Job,
all he has to do is be competitive and graduate his students.
Yep.
That's all they care about him. But, you know, he was the wide receivers coach with me in Baltimore, and he played in the league as well. He played wide receiver, and he has a lot of experience coaching. He was on the Atlanta staff with Mike Smith. I would like to see him because I think he has the temperament and understanding how to be calm. And he's a very, like, Tony Dungy type of aura type of guy. Very,
okay.
Very measured, very, very thoughtful. So if you're going to go that way, and I think you want a guy who understands how to do the pro game, I think David Shaw. If you're going to go with, you know, somebody outside of Eric the Enemy, Sala, who's a defensive coordinator out in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
he's a guy that I think I would bring in. Or I would go, if you want an offensive guy that kind of has that rugged spot, I would go with Greg Roman. Offense coordinator for the Ravens, who created the offense. I'm speaking to them. Created the offense for Colin Kaepernick and created a customized offense for Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, if I'm going to go that way, I'll go those ways if I can't get Eric the Enemy.
Okay, 800-919-3776. Good. Those are interesting, and I hope we have. We can dive deep into this conversation eventually with all the different possible candidates and who would fit best and all those things, because that is a conversation we're hoping to have. The Jets don't have a head coach right now. They have a guy that has that position, but he's pretty much no longer the head coach because he's not a leader of men, he's not a developer, and he's no longer calling plays. So that's pretty much where it's at. He's going to finish out the season, and that's what the Jets are right now. Let's go to Pat in Hempstead. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, did I hear – how you doing, fellas? Big fan of Bart Scott and Allen Hahn, of course. Did I hear Allen Hahn say that he doesn't expect any fireworks for the Knicks?
Not this offseason. No.
In the offseason, after $40 million of cap space.
Not going to be able to spend it.
All these movements and administration.
There's nothing
– to make a move.
Pat, there's nothing they can do. You have cap space. You'll probably end up doing the one and like they did last year, a one plus. Who are they going to get? Who are they targeting? There's no free agents this year.
Zach LaVine is probably going to be available. No. You trying to tell me we can't have to get him with all these draft picks?
You want Van Fleet? You want Van Fleet?
Not going to happen.
I don't know. He's kind of small. He's kind of small. I'm afraid of him. You know, he's small.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's also going to stay put. He's in a better place. Because of where we're at right now, the cap's going to go down, by the way. They lost money. So the cap's going down. So you're not really going to have the same amount of money you thought you had. They probably have to just keep most of what they've got together and just try to be competitive, which you'd think with Tibbs, that's what you'd be. You just have like a different mindset. You have another year under RJ. You got a top 10 pick that you'll go with, maybe even two firsts. We'll see what you get out of the 27 pick. And what you have to do is as the season goes on, you start making some of these players you have that people say, this guy sucks and that guy sucks. Suddenly, maybe they have some value. And then whenever the trade deadline comes around, that's when you start making your moves. You're only going to have a couple of weeks you're not Chris Paul probably isn't an option, especially if the Clippers are. And then the Russell Westbrook thing is pretty much off the table at this point. Trading for Zach LaVine is right now. Is that your move? Like, is that really the move you're going to make? It's a huge contract.
Or Oladipo.
Does that move the needle? Would you call that fireworks, Oladipo?
I mean, two years ago.
It's an injured player who... Then he had a serious injury, though, that knocked him out for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, like they did with Amari Stoudemire sometimes.
That's the problem, Bart. I would rather see them do this slowly than do something with impulse just to get, like, hey, look what we've done. And I don't think they're built that way. I don't think they're going to do that. I think there's a lot of confidence in that group that look at players and go, okay, we don't have a lot of talent here, but we can do something with this enough to at least be competitive in a year that's going to be a weird year for everybody.
So tell me this. Who do they get? You've been studying the draft. You start breaking down that tape. I know how you roll. With the eighth pick, who's the steal that they can get? That may not be the piece now, but he may be a piece on that wing or that stretch four. Who's that steal that's out there that you can get Knicks fans excited about that say, listen, you may not know a lot about this guy, but listen to this name. This is the name that you should be keeping an eye on, and this is the name that maybe the Knicks, because the draft is not that great, and so from 1 to 8, you could get the best player at 8 without anybody ever knowing it.
Well, Devin Vassell, to me, is a guy that you got to keep your eye on. He's somebody that's really moving up. Everybody really likes him. You know, everybody else is, like I said, at 8, you're not really getting a high-end player. Like Tyrese Haliburton, everybody's excited about. I can't see him lasting till 8. Killian Hayes is a nice player, but we don't know enough about him. Like, I can't possibly get enough about him. He played overseas. It's hard to get a lot of good film. You're getting highlight film stuff, which means they show you only the good stuff. So it's really hard. It's hard to figure this stuff out. Obi Toppin will be gone.
That's why you got the guy from Utah, though.
Adija's going to be gone. You know, those guys are not going to be there. And you're not – see, and I don't think you're targeting anybody that's a big. So you're looking at – to me, you're looking at somebody that's either a wing – you know, like Okoro, like, you know, like he can't shoot, but he's a physical, good, you know, good defense, like good defensive potential.
Well, we need shooters. We need shooters out here.
Yeah, Aaron Nesmith is a guy, Nesmith, I should say. He could shoot the hell out of the basketball. How about a guy that shot 52% from three? Would you like that?
Yes, I do.
He played at Vandy. Now he got hurt. He didn't play a ton. But when he did play, the guy didn't miss. That guy was a bucket.
So he could maybe be that Porter type of player, the player that you get in a couple years.
It could be anything. Like I said, it's been so long since any of these guys have played.
Because I think Denver's been the team that gets players, and you're like, man, where did these guys come from? Like, we slept on them. Whether it's Bobo, who I think Bobo's going to be a hell of a player.
Yeah, they were able to take that risk with him.
Yeah, and people slept on him, and people slept on Porter. I forgot just how big Porter was. It looked like he grew and got taller ever since he left.
He's 6'10". No, he's 6'10". He's super skinny, though. Like, he's like me. He's light in the ass. He's got nothing lower. Like, lower body. He's way too skinny.
He's 6'10". Danny Green at 6'10".
6'10", with hops. Major hops.
He got a lot of swag, too, man. I was impressed with him.
I worry about his mental state, though. He's a little off. He doesn't play no defense. No, and definitely doesn't. No, he struggled. That's why he had such a hard time with Mike Malone. Mike Malone was all over about his defense, so.
October 31st is finally here, ladies and gentlemen. Two of the best boxers in the world go head-to-head for the fight of the year. Don't miss Javante Tank Davis as he takes on Leo Santa Cruz live on pay-per-view Saturday, October 31st.
Santa Cruz.
I got to get my Rosetta Stone together. Davis and Santa Cruz will be a rare clash in boxing history in which world titles and two weight divisions will be up for stakes. For your chance to watch the fight on us. Not on us, not me, but on ESPN. Text Showtime to 44202. Again, text Showtime to 44202, and we'll give one listener the pay-per-view access code. Mm-hmm. Purchase the Showtime pay-per-view on the Showtime app on your smart TV or connected devices. Order online at Showtime.com or contact your cable TV or satellite provider. Yes. I'm telling you, this is one of the fights of the year. Tank Davis is a guy that's economical on his punches, but he got bombs. Santa Cruz is a guy
he's
that
tatted.
Is. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Tatted. He tatted. Listen, he tatted up like the subway used to be in the 90s in New York. But Santa Cruz is a guy that's going to throw 100 punches around.
He's tatted up like an Ed Koch subway car.
Exactly. Let me tell you, Santa Cruz throw about 100 punches around, so he's going to force Tank to fight. And Tank's going to have to sit down on his punches.
Are they paying you to break down the fight?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I'm giving too much. No cheese on my taco. I ain't got no access code.
It's on Barton Hunt. If you didn't get all that, it's on Barton Hunt on the Twitter. All the information's there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, man. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Good luck.
Like, you're giving
it
away for free.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
When you use butt, you set.
But you know what is paid for? You know what is paid for, though? This portion of the show, which is driven by the Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and the confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See you, Lexus dealer.
Hold up, a brother can't get no demo? What's up with that? We got Lexus.
Who says you can't? Who says you can't?
We got Lexus, no demo cars. Mm-hmm. We got boxing, no access code. Man, Tim McCarthy, we gonna holler at you after the show, man. We need some whips. We need some whips and we need some antennas.
I thought you were going to say something else. Hey, I don't have an idea.
Hey, phrasing.
Well, you said we need some whips and I'm like, whoa. Well, I didn't know it was that kind of show. What's
sorry,
the safe word?
Cars. Pineapples.
Gotcha. No,
pineapples always. Pineapples is a universal state safe word.
Understood.
Pineapples.
Well, let's go to Joe in New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey guys, I wanted to call about the Jets head coaching situation. Right. I keep hearing the names like Salas and Bellamy, but I believe the way the NFL is trending right now, you need an offensive-minded head coach with a strong defensive coordinator. I like Greg Roman. I really like Lincoln Riley. What are your thoughts about going offensively instead of defensive head coach?
You think Lincoln Riley would come out to go to New York?
No. Lincoln Riley will only come if Jerry Jones gets tired of McCarthy and he says, hey, you can have your dream job right here up the street.
Yeah,
come
call.
On down and you can get this good money and you can have CeeDee Lamb. You can have all the guys that you know and you can here you go. But, you know, to the point, it's tough. Like, when you always want an offensive coach, defensive coach, you know what I mean? I just want to coach a leader of men.
Yeah,
I want
a
leader of men. And, you know, Greg Roman is one, but like I said, David Shaw is one, you know, that has NFL experience. You want somebody
like David Shaw.
Like,
that's a sneaky good little suggestion you just threw out.
I'm a man. I'm 40. Good.
I mean, because you think about you know someone who has NFL experience, somebody that may not be flashy. Look at what Matt Rhule is doing and how he's turned the Panthers around already. They were in that game last week to try and have an opportunity.
They've been competitive. And they don't even have McCaffrey.
Yeah, and he was here, right? And he was here. He was in the room, but you didn't give him what he wanted. So now you're reaping the consequences of letting him walk away. You got to try and imitate that, but you got to get somebody that's strong enough to be able to lead. Man, you know, Rhule was here on the Giants staff, so that's why I like college coaches that has experience here. You know what I mean?
They're not coming into something that it's like it's a culture shock for them, and they're not used to it. They already understand how the pro mind works, how the pro system works. Chris in New Jersey, also on Jets coaching. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing today?
What's good?
Good.
Actually, Bart, you took the words right out of my mouth before when I was going to call in and say that my top choices for the Jets head coach would be either Bieniemy or Harbaugh. I think they're by far the two best candidates out there right now. I've been a Harbaugh fan ever since his days at Stanford, so I think he'd be a heck of a coaching hire. But there's a couple other names I wanted to run by you real quick to let you know your thoughts on them.
Okay.
The first one being Arthur Smith with the Titans. I keep hearing his name, and the Titans' offense is phenomenal, so I think he'd be an interesting pick. Another one that I keep hearing is P.J. Fleck from Minnesota in the Big Ten.
He shot up quickly. He shot up the coaching ranks quickly coming from what? Central Michigan was where he's at. He actually replaced my college coach because he supported the students during the first Kaepernick protest, and they got rid of him. But, yeah, go ahead. I like P.J. Fleck.
Yeah, that's a name that I keep hearing a lot. He came up through the – I think he was under Shiano at one point, too, as well. He shot up pretty quickly. And Brian Daboll in Buffalo is another name I keep hearing, the OC over there, similar to Greg Roman in that regard.
Well, Daboll's been around for a long time. I think he was actually with the Jets before, back in the Herm Edward days. Arthur Smith, I mean, you know, he's a young bright mind. He's only 38 years old. So he has that kind of pedigree where he's innovative with what's going on in the game right now. That's not a bad pick as well. And I think they really need to sit back. I don't know who has connections with Joe Douglas and who Joe Douglas has in his mind that he would like to work with. Remember, he was in Chicago for a long time. He was in Chicago for a long time. I mean, I know he knows Greg Roman because Greg Roman was in Baltimore for a long time.
Yeah.
You
know, what if the Eagles made a change of head coach? What if Doug Peterson suddenly became available?
I mean, he's been proven, and you talk about that Andy Reid type of tree. You talk about that Andy Reid tree. You know what I mean? That would be there. I mean, Deuce Staley is there, but I don't know if Deuce Staley's ready to be a head coach. Deuce Staley's been on those staffs for a long time. For those championships, he's been given a lot of credit. I think a lot of people don't really bring Deuce up like that. But, you know, it's up for consideration.
All right, listen to this. We have a little bit of break news out of the NFL.
What?
Can't wait.
I'm seeing this from Ian Rappaport. It could be elsewhere as well. But Dez Bryant signed to the Ravens practice squad.
Yeah, I hate that.
Why?
Because Dez Bryant ain't the answer, man. They need to get an explosive player. I think
Well, Antonio
somewhere?
Brown's officially signed by the Buccaneers, so he's off.
I'm saying go big or go home. You know what I mean? I'm saying go, you know, listen, they can say whatever they want about Julio. Julio's available. If I can go get Julio, they rebuilding that thing. I understand he's
– So are you saying you know that? You know that Julio Jones is available? That you know this?
Listen, what I'm saying is they're rebuilding, right? So whenever they say, hey, Julio's not available, that means he is available, right? They're going to have a new coach. They're going to start over. They might have a new quarterback. If they lose enough games, they may be trying to go. You talk about who's the guy from Ohio State that you were talking about that's available?
Fields, yeah.
Fields could be their choice if they can't get Trevor Lawrence. They could be in it. Listen, they can end up with the worst record if the Jets mess around and win one. And you know what I'm saying? So, like, if they're going to do that, then it's time to let Julio go. They have Ridley there to replace him. And listen, I could have swore I just saw some reports about A.J. Green and the fact that, you know, he's like, we already saw him say, trade me. We thought we read his lips.
Yeah.
We thought he read his lips. But then I hear that, you know, maybe, you know, was he suspended or something like that? I thought I saw something like that, something with the team. So, I mean, the Ravens need more than just that. I understand that Ngakoue allows them to play more man-to-man coverage. We heard Rex talk about it. Now they don't have to blitz to get pressure. They can double everybody because now they got seven people in coverage. I got that. But, you know, they need to be able to put some points up if Lamar Jackson, you know, can't run over everybody and everybody been able to stop that Raven defense in the playoffs. They need to be able to put up, generate points and be able to go throw for throw.
All right, not to be a wet blanket, Adam Schefter did report a few days ago that the Falcons, according to sources, will not trade Matt Ryan or Julio Jones before the deadline.
Yeah, okay.
He's basing that on sources, just so you know.
Sources. Was that source a first-round draft pick? Was it a future first-round draft pick? Was it a draft pick and a player? And come on, listen, the Falcons and the Ravens have already done business this offseason. Remember, they traded Hayden Hurst to them, gave up their first-round Hayden Hurst was the first-round draft pick for them 2 years ago. He was Ozzie's last draft, so he came in with Lamar Jackson. The year after Lamar Jackson. And he traded him, so they have that relationship that they've done business in recent days. You know, we saw hit Minnesota and the Ravens.
But why don't you, just quickly, because we got to go, but just, what don't you like about Dez Bryant? I know he's been out of the league a little bit, but
he's 32 years old, a little bit.
I understand, but it's not like they're not putting a lot into it. They just put him on the practice squad, take a look at it. And if he shows you a little something, it's another guy that can be a weapon, no?
No.
I'd rather have him than Antonio Brown, I'll tell you that.
I wouldn't. This dude, listen, what? as far,
in my attitude, locker room?
Look, locker room is one thing. On the field, it's something totally different. Remember, last time we heard from Dez Bryant, he was 29 years. He was 29 years old.
It's been three years.
It's been 3 years since he's played, Alan. 3 years.
Has it really been three years?
It's been
years?
3 years. And the dude blew. Remember, he blew his Achilles out the first game with the Saints. So you can't count that year. So this dude, matter of fact, he never made it to a game. So, like, this dude's been gone. And before, they got rid of him in Dallas because he couldn't separate anymore. So now I want to bring a guy up here that he's not Anquan Boldin. He's never been Anquan Boldin. So you want to bring the guy here and you want to put your – I'm not putting my hopes on him. I want an active player like A.J. Green that can be a real weapon
4, or call Jacksonville, man. Call Jacksonville, get DJ Shark, get one of those great receivers that'll fall out of favor.
There are a couple of receivers that are being rumored that could be available from some of the bad teams. So certainly something to keep an eye on as we're less than a week now away from the trade deadline. That'll be an interesting day in the NFL. I got Nicole Eggert flashbacks, man. Feeling like a dirty old man.
Charles in charge of our days and our nights. I want Charles in charge of me. Charles, when the kids go to sleep, Charles in charge had company over. He's that babysitter they don't want.
Like I said.
Well, hold on, man. What's this on my couch?
Do you not remember Nicole Eggert in that show?
I don't.
Come on, the Blondie?
I just remember Charles, he was a pimp.
Yeah, he definitely was.
And the parents was never at home.
No, because Charles was in charge.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you didn't have to be home if Charles was in charge.
That's true.
Mom and Dad could get out to the bed and breakfast and, you know.
Ah, they was keeping it fresh.
Yeah. Sookie, though. Uh-huh. You know, like, so, you know, that's how it worked. Although there's some stories about that show now when you dive in. And by the way, Scott
Bayo.
It was the 80s.
Everybody was doing it. It's like Kevin Hart. He's like.
It's the 80s. Everything was.
Yeah, he's like.
Everything is legal in Jersey and everything was legal in the 80s.
He was like, yo, everybody that know, I ain't got to say it. Your dad was back there doing it too. Oh, no, you didn't. Like, Dad, you get you a cup. All right. Like, nah, you get you a cup and put your name on the cup. You ain't sipping out of no other cup
bang,
in
bang.
This house.
Bang, bang. So on the Bart and Hahn Twitter, Anthony put it. Now, is it a poll? No, you didn't make it a poll. You just,
no, we just put opinion.
Just put up two pictures, Braxton Berrios, and we tagged them because why not? And Willie Ames. No, don't fix it. It's too late. I've already retweeted it. It's too late. And so we have Willie Ames, the actor who played Buddy Lembeck. In the show.
Buddy Lembeck. Yeah, Buddy.
Buddy. And if you look at the pictures, seriously, like that is as you're really good at that game. You're good at that celebrity lookalike game. Yeah,
I tell you what, I got a driver for my Amazon DSP thing that looks like Bison Daley, and he didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Bison Daley? What a reference.
I was like, bro, you like Bison Daley.
How do you even think of Bison Daley? Like, how does that even come up in your mind? That's a great reference.
It's just, and then so then when I showed him, he just walked out.
He didn't like that at all, did he?
He couldn't say nothing. He looked just like him, and he had an afro. He's like, I'm cutting my hair.
You're the worst. What would you say to me then? All right. What am I?
See, nothing's come off.
You.
But it's going to come in my head. Like I don't have one for everybody. Yeah, I don't have one for everybody. But like when I see people, and it's like sometimes when I saw Berrios, I was like, man, he looks like Buddy.
Yeah.
I said flying Brian Pillman too. But I got to look up flying Brian to see what he looks like.
Gotcha. I used to get Chris Isaac.
Nah.
It's got Chris Isaac and
I used to get Vernon Davis all the time.
And Morris, you won't know this.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
See what he's doing? Yeah, he said we're talking too much.
You better wrap it up.
Anthony's like grabbing the wheel. Get you lunatics out of here. All right. So tonight, World Series Game 6. It's funny how Anthony's so passive-aggressive. The Dodgers have a chance to win the World Series. 8 o'clock game on Fox tonight. Nothing else to watch, so why not put this on? Blake Snell, Tony Gonsolin, and he will actually pitch. He went down an opener tonight, but I imagine you're going to get a lot of bullpen. So, our lunch money today will be the over-under, okay? And it's 8, which is like always 8 for some reason. The only game to not go over, by the way, was the previous game, which was 4-2. Other than that, you've had 8-3, 6-4, 6-2, 8-7. So 4-2 game 5 was the only one. So I'm saying, Bart, I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the over too, man. I think especially, you know, I don't think Snell would give up a lot. I think, you know, this is
the second time around, he's a mess. Yeah, you got to watch. They got to get to the bullpen. And Gonsolin as well as a young guy. So there'll be some bullpen going on in here. All right, Bart, let's see what happens. And great job today. I will see you tomorrow.
I holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.